Now, from verse 15 on, we sort of get this sense that St. Paul is continuing this rebuke of Simon Peter, that he's continuing this statement that he's saying. But there's also a sense in which he is jumping out of this historical narrative, and he is now kind of speaking more directly to the Galatians. He's kind of stopped speaking to Simon Peter, but now he's speaking to the people questioning this gospel in Galatia. And in this, we sort of are running this little parallel that just as there were people in Antioch, Gentile Christians in Antioch, who had come to believe in Christ, but then they ran into the same controversy of people coming and telling them they weren't really Christians unless they were circumcised. Here, just as St. Paul was defending the integrity of the gospel in Antioch from the false brothers who would try to enslave them in the Mosaic law, so now St. Paul's doing the exact same thing for the Galatians. The Galatians who are now being troubled just as they were in Antioch. St. Paul, who defended the true gospel in Antioch. Well, now St. Paul is defending this gospel in Galatia, trying to keep them in that same sense of peace of this gospel he preaches. So verse 15, he's continuing this discussion. You could imagine this is the same type of thing he might have said in Antioch to Simon Peter. Now he's saying the same message to the Galatians in this letter he's written to them. Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Now, he's using a common Old Testament statement that is there, is that the Jews were considered God's chosen people. The Gentiles were the ones who did not have the law, so they were naturally considered to be in sin. So they'd say sinners from the Gentiles, that's because they lacked the law. That's an Old Testament understanding. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles, yet who know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. And again, we see the same sort of a kind of a poetic parallel that is set up there. So St. Paul is saying we who are Jews, who have the law, who have that the Mosaic tradition, even we, because we recognize that the law cannot bring us salvation, we have believed, we have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And so because the St. Paul, who is a Jew, and the other Jewish Christians, because they have come to believe in Jesus Christ, he is saying that inherent in that belief is a recognition that the law itself, the Old Testament law, is insufficient for salvation. And there's always a sense of that in the Old Testament, is that they would practice the law, and yet they would never practice the law perfectly. There's always a sense in the Old Testament that the Messiah would need to come in order to save them, that what they had was good and holy, the law, the Mosaic law given to them, and yet it wasn't enough. They were always waiting for that gift of salvation that was to come. And so, by accepting the salvation in Jesus Christ, there is an automatic recognition then that the law was not enough. The law somehow was not sufficient for salvation. It is Christ Jesus that brings us salvation. So then verse 17. But if in seeking to be justified by Christ, which is what they're doing, they're recognizing that in Christ comes salvation. If we ourselves are found to be sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? Of course not. And here St. Paul is setting up this contradiction that is here. So in other words, St. Paul is saying if we seek to be justified by Christ, so here we recognize that Christ is the source of salvation. But then he says but we are found to be sinners. The sin comes in rejecting this salvation in Christ. In other words, you can't say that you're saved by Christ and then at the same time turn around and say, you Gentiles, well, you don't count. Or saying that you can be saved in Christ, oh, but you have to still practice the Mosaic law. Because if you're holding on to the Mosaic law, then you're denying the salvation that comes in Christ. You can't say that salvation comes from Christ and see Jews accept that and Gentiles accept that, and then at the same time deny or wound the body of Christ by separating those into two camps. It does not work. Instead, what you're doing, instead of healing and reconciling, you're creating sin and division. And so then that is to say that Christ himself, is Christ himself the cause of this sin? It's a contradiction. He says, of course not, verse 17. He has reasoned to this contradiction of saying you are making out of Christ a cause or a source of division that is completely impossible, that is illogically. You cannot divide Christ. You cannot divide the body of Christ. You cannot divide the gospel of Christ. There is only one. And so there is this unity that is there. Verse 18, but if I am building up again those things that I tore down, then I show myself to be a transgressor. Now, what did St. Paul tear down? St. Paul tore down the division that was built up by the law, the division between Jews and Gentiles. So here, this separation between the Jews and the Gentiles has now been broken down. There is now no longer Jew nor Greek, a slave nor free, male nor female. All are one in Christ Jesus, St. Paul would say elsewhere. And so here he has torn down this division, but if he builds it up again, then he shows himself to be a transgressor. He shows himself to be inconsistent with this message that he preaches. For verse 19, for through the law I died to the law that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Insofar as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and given himself up for me. So here's this profound sense of recognition, this revelation that St. Paul had in which he is saved by Christ. He is now realizing all the consequences of that gift of salvation. He says, for through the law, I died to the law. He is now no longer under the law. He has now died to this law so I might live for God. Remember what happened, as we say, as Jesus Christ, because he was sinless, he was not held to the punishment of the law. He had not sinned. He was not, but he bore for us the consequences of our sins. He paid the debt that the law demanded. And so Jesus Christ, paying the debt of sin, set us free from the power of sin, the power of death, and the power of the law. Christ Jesus setting us free from that, St. Paul then says the same thing. He says, I have now died with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. For through the law, I have died to the law. In trying to defend the law, he encountered that moment of conversion at which he realized the futility of what he was doing. So he has now died to the law so that he may live for God. So everything he has now, he sees as this grace that comes from Jesus Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He, insofar as I now live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who did what? Who loved me and gave himself up for me. And that's why St. Paul is so passionate about this. What he does because of his love for the Gentiles. He is giving himself up because he loves the Gentiles and wants them to come to know the same message of salvation he has received in Christ Jesus. And so now he spends his entire life. His entire life has been claimed by Christ. The old Paul has died, and this new Paul, which is risen in Christ, now proceeds forward. One of the things that I think we can say about St. Paul is that he has thought very, very deeply about his own conversion. He's thought very deeply about the grace that was given to him by Jesus Christ. And he's really thought this through in terms of the consequences of this. Although, you know, early on the apostles would continue to practice their Jewish traditions, it was St. Paul who really, in considering this, recognized that those old traditions had passed away. It's that what Christ had done was so radically new that the Old Testament had now reached a conclusion. And in reaching its conclusion, it has now changed. Is that Christ has now taken the place of the law. The old law has passed away, and the new law of Christ Jesus is what has instead come forward. So St. Paul was one of the first to really go through all of the consequences of this faith and to really articulate it in such a powerful way. So then we get to verse 21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And this is ultimately this conclusion he reaches, is that you can't straddle this issue. It's one thing to say, I believe in Christ and I continue to practice my Jewish traditions. But for St. Paul, when push comes to shove and you say, how are we saved? You can't give two answers to that question. You can't say that we're saved by the law and say that we're saved by Christ. You can't do both things at the same time. Because if you say that you can be saved by the law, then Christ's death was meaningless. He says in verse 21. He says, but that's not what we believe at all. And so Christ has now superseded the law. He has replaced the law. And so this grace of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus is now beyond the law. It is a grace that is given, and a very powerful thing indeed. So as St. Paul really challenges the Galatians on this point, he wants to make clear to them that this is not about just simply holding on to some Old Testament practices, and you certainly can't require that. He says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, these are the consequences of believing and accepting salvation in Jesus Christ. As we continue through the next couple chapters of Galatians, we'll see some other arguments that St. Paul uses, but they will all go to defend this, the integrity of the gospel as he has preached it. And so we'll look next week then at continuing with Galatians 3 and 4, and then the week after that, Galatians 5 and 6. So we ask people to read Galatians 3 and 4, and then we'll continue with St. Paul's scriptural arguments next week.